Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Will you please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon and to the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled during the week and next Sunday. Also, like to draw your attention to the fact that there is an outline as Pastor speaks today that you can follow. And also, today is the last day for participating in the Angel Tree Ministry. So please see Helen Menig or Mary Tomlinson if you have any questions. Now, there are two locations for men's Bible studies. The one at Victor Laurel's home in San Jose. We'll meet at the Laurel's home tomorrow, December 5th, and please see Victor Laurel for the details. So there is this other insert, which you might want to look at with some interest. Also, at the 3:30 class this afternoon, Pastor Otero will be, there will be a discussion of this morning's service, this morning's sermon, I should say. And where Pastor will amplify what is being taught this morning, and also if you have any questions concerning the sermon, this would be at 3:30 this afternoon here at the church, in the conference room. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 100, verses 1 through 3. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 100, O Come All Ye Faithful. Let us continue our worship with hymn number 87, Joy to the World.
Nature.
Will you please stand now as we sing hymn number 241, Have You Any Room for Jesus?
Let's remain standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, King David, said, I will praise thee with a whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O our God, the Most High. And Father, you hear the voice of our congregation to the name of our blessed Jesus. And soon we want to hear the voices of our choir praising the name of our Father, our Son, our Holy Spirit. Soon the Holy Word of God is going to be read in that beautiful passage of the incarnation of Jesus. And Father, we want to honor him, our Most High, as David said. We are blessed with a congregation, not only here in Morgan Hill, actually physical congregation, but through our airways of people who listen across the country, for people who listen across the internet, and then, Father, for people who listen later on the CD and tape ministry. We are blessed with a large number of people who are part of our church. We don't know who they are. We don't know how many. But we know they are part of the Church of the Living God. And we are thankful. Father, as a church body, from time to time, we have people with sickness. We remind ourselves of Loretta Forrest in bed for a long time, with cancer, incurable cancer, but with a smile and a voice that challenged anyone. We thank you for her life. And we are glad, Father, that Mary's mother, Stella, is better. She's under dialysis, but is better. And her heart difficulties are over so far. So, Father, we pray for the strength of Mary Tomlinson as she ministered to her mother. And we pray, Father, that you who are the heavenly doctor will work in her life, work through the doctors, work through the medicine, so that we may see great results. Father, we have missionaries who are across the world. Fred and Carol Lewis, who are in Oregon because of Fred's sickness, are Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Malaga, Spain, David and Denise Rode in Papua, New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Bendaño in Guatemala, and Martha Foretti in Buenos Aires. South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and for Daniel and Miriam Lacey in the sport ministry, and Daniel has finished today one of the conference of the ministry in Florida, and we pray for his speech and his presentation. Lord, how blessed we are with these missionaries. I learned through speaking and phone with Martha that today there will be five people who graduate from these 3 years of rehabilitation. And she mentioned to me that one of them knows the Lord. And so, Father, we pray for this boy who knows the Lord, that he may continue in thy grace and in thy mercy. We thank you, Lord, for those who have been away, like the Goodman family, and we see them back here, and how wonderful it is to see them and to fellowship with them and to enjoy them. And we remind ourselves constantly of the Dulilo family, who were a blessing to us, and now they are in Idaho, and we pray that they will be a blessing in a local church there in the area. We thank you, Father, that you take care of us across the world. Doesn't matter where we go, always we can find Jesus, and we can find God, and we can find a good church to be with. Thank you, Lord, that the church do not belong to man, but belong to you, the Father of all. Now, Father, you have been faithful in supporting us and helping us to continue in the ministry without being under wrap. It's just amazing. And so we thank you, Father, for that. And we pray that you bless the offering and bless the giver this morning. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel according to John. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 621, and we will be reading John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Blessed is the Word of God. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, again we come to the throne of grace today to worship you and hear the exposition of your word. As we see him in the scriptures, we also can behold the glory of the word, the Lord Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. We thank you for the knowledge that he is truly God and truly man, and that he made us and not we ourselves, and that we are his people, the sheep of his pasture, the children of God who believe in his name. We pray for strength to live our lives before him in obedience to his commands. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. We thank you for answered prayer, that he has been restored to good health. As he comes now to deliver the good news from your word, bless him and guide him, and give us the ability to understand and act upon what we will learn. We again pray for those listening here and on the radio and internet and tape and CD who do not know you, that they would come to believe the truth and follow the Lord Jesus Christ and pass from death to life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. This is December, as you will know. And this is the month that we point ourselves, we Christians, point ourselves to a great celebration, a celebration of the birthday of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a month about Mohammed or about anything else. This is a month about the Lord Jesus. And I care less what the city calls the Christmas tree. They want to call it a season tree, whatever they want to call it, call it. But this is about Jesus. And so our sermons on this series is going to be about the birth of Christ. As you will know, Matthew and the Gospel of Luke gives a birth certificate of the Lord Jesus Christ. One from the line of his mother, the other on the line of his so-called father. The Gospel of Mark is silent about the birth of Jesus. Amazing enough, Peter, who taught Marcus to write the Gospel, seems that there is no importance. It is a given that Jesus was born from heaven, is the Son of God. Now, John describes the theological implications of the birth of our Lord. John Gospel tell us that God the Son is the eternal Word and became the incarnate Word. If you look in your Bible in Gospel of John, in chapter 1, and in verse 1, we read the declaration, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." And if you are reading a King James Bible, you notice the difference in the writing. The word "Word" is in capital, which is an interpretation of the translation of the word "logos." There are two words in the Greek language for the word "word." One is when the word is spoken. When you speak the word and the word become alive, that's logos. And the other is when you write the word, that become rhema. So they are two different words. The word used here is the word which is alive, the spoken word. The was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Now, if you move your eyes to verse 14 on the same chapter, you find that the Bible says, and the word was made, or a proper translation will be, and the word become into existence, become flesh, and dwell among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. And then the gospel says, full plenaria, in the Greek language, no doubt, nothing less than full of grace, and also the original says, full of truth. There is no other place in the whole universe you can find truth, because the fullness of truth, the perfection of truth, is found in the Lord Jesus. Now, when you read that, and you said that a word became flesh and took the form of a man, is that kind of mysterious? To any science person will say, hold it. What do you say? It's mysterious. It's a mystery. And I don't expect that you and I, with our common reason, doesn't matter how many degrees you hold or how many doctor's degrees you have, I don't expect that you can reason these together and put it together unless you understand it by faith. It is a mystery. And so what I'm going to do this morning is going to unfold this mystery as we Christians reason this, and as we receive this blessing from God and the written word, what that means to us Christians, that the word became really flesh. First, I'm going to speak about the mystery of God. And as our brother said, you don't have to take notes. The whole notes are there. And then at 3:30, I unfold my computer with a projector. And then we look into the original language of this and pull it more apart. The mystery of God. Then, how did God do this? I call it the divine operation. What kind of machine did God use? They took the word and became a man. And then, the mystery of divine revelation. Why all of this? Why do we need to know this? Why is this necessary for you to master and to know? All right, let's work together. The morning services this month will be a kind of a heavy Bible study. You follow me? All right. Number one, the mystery of God. First, the mystery of his being. Christ pre-existed before the creation. Move your Bible to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, in chapter 1 and verse 26 and verse 27. Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus, pre-existed with God before the world. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, God is Elohim. It's a plural word. It's no God, but gods. The Godhead said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and so on. Look at verse 27. And God created man or mankind at his own image. Now, just to clarify, if you are his own image, you don't have to look over there. What that means, that we look like God? No. God is a plurality, is a Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God has three integral parts of his head. God in his corporation is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God created man in his own image. And I'm going to read it for you. Don't look on it. Just go through your head. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, and here is how God made you, your whole spirit, the whole being, spirit is your life. And the whole soul, that's your psycho, that's your personality. And the whole body be blessed by our God, said Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And so therefore, God is saying here in the scripture that Christ pre-existed before the creation of the world. And when God took the decision to form mankind, God was with him and consent. Now, is this a statement that have been believed by the church? Well, let's check it. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, page 693. Colossians chapter 1, in verse 17, page 693. The Bible says about Jesus, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is before all things. So the mystery of his being. He was with God. He was God before the creation. Now, the mystery of his becoming. As we read John in chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible said, and the Word become into existence, become into flesh. Well, Paul really explained that in Philippians chapter 2. If you move your Bible to Philippians chapter 2, page 690, I think it's 692, maybe I'm wrong, Philippians chapter 2, and starting with verse 5, Paul explained the becoming of his being. How in the world God in existence becomes a man? Look at what Paul says, Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, talking about Jesus, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself or became himself of no reputation. In other words, mankind is nothing really compared to angels and to God. Became of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, that's what you are as a man, and was made in the likeness of man. He was not made a man, he was made in the likeness of man. The original, I'm not telling you what it is, but the original is the word sketch. That you use the word sketch, he became just a sketch of man. You know, when you do a sketching, if you study architectural, you walk in a room, you see it, then the professor will say, now, do a sketch of what you saw. All right? Just a graphic of what you saw. And that's what the word said. And look at verse 8. And being found in the fashion as a man, we found him in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so the mystery of his becoming is that God the Father took upon himself that form of a man. He was not actually a man per se, but he took the form of a man in that way. Now, the mystery of seeing him. Is anybody saw Jesus as God? Well, here is First Timothy in the Bible, in page 699, 1 Timothy 3:16, Paul said that when he saw Jesus, he saw Jesus as God. 1 Timothy 3 in verse 16, page 699, and without controversy, and see what Paul says, great is the mystery. Even Paul, when he explained this, he did not explain it as a solid, reasoning, mankind understanding. He said, great is the mystery of godliness. And look at what he says. God was manifested in the flesh. God in the flesh. That's how he saw Jesus. God in the flesh, he says. Justify in the Spirit. That's his baptism. That's what a person should be baptized when he's older. So that you know what's going on and you know your heart if you really are justified before God. Justify in the Spirit. That's his baptism. Remember Matthew 3, verse 17, when the dove came in and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God the Father saying that. Justify in the Spirit. Seeing of angels. Remember the legions? 400 legions of angels of the scripture were flying around. All the missiles were flying around the cross. Jesus can push a button and all the Romans will be gone. Scene of angels of the scripture. Preach unto the Gentiles. That's Paul. Now look at the next word. Believe in the world. That's what you need to do. Believe in the world. And then he said the scripture. Look at how complete. Receive up in glory. Remarkable. The mystery of seeing him. Now you said, Pastor, this is 2,000 years ago. And will you explain to me how I can see Jesus today? Yes. Let's go to John chapter 17 on his prayer. And on verse 20. John chapter 17. And in verse 20, you will see how we can see God, Jesus, as God today. Jesus prayed, and at the end of his prayer, he says, neither pray I for these alone, the 12 disciples or the 11 disciples, but for them also, which shall receive, which shall believe of me through their word. You see that? We can see Jesus when we believe his word, the Bible. When we believe the Bible, we actually are seeing Jesus. Doesn't matter who you are. From Iran, from Argentina, from Japan, from Korea, from Philippines, from whatever country you are, doesn't make a difference. When you see the word of God and the word of God show you Jesus and you believe that, then you are seeing Jesus like Paul said that he has come. That's what Satan attacks the word of God in America and in every place. That he will never overcome. The mystery of God. The mystery of God is simple. God became in the form of flesh. That's the mystery of God. Now, if you think of Jesus as a philosopher, you are shorter from that. If you think of Jesus as a great professor, he was, but you are shorter of that. If you think of Jesus as a good man, it was, but you are shorter of what is required. What is required is that you see Jesus beyond your head. That you see Jesus through the eyes of your faith. Now, the mystery of divine operation. We read in John that the word became flesh. Wait a minute. What kind of stuff did God use? You know, engineers, they always like to see things, how things happen. You talk to an engineer, and an engineer quickly will say to you, well, tell me again. And his head is 100 miles per hour trying to reason how this could happen. It's typical of an engineer. You talk to an accountant, he says, how much cost? But to an engineer, he wants to research how this happened. All right? Okay, let's see the divine operation. You read in John 14 that the Word became flesh. So here is a human being who has a mama, a glorious mama. Have you read Luke when she prayed? Blessed Mother Mary when she prayed? A glorious woman. Have you ever heard the angels saying to Mary, we have selected you, a virtuous woman. He has a mama, but no father. No father. So there was not really a subject in which sin can be transmitted. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, for example. If you go to Romans chapter 5, which is in page 664, in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, you have there explained for us the regular way in which people are born. This is the stuff by which every human being across the universe is born. Look at what Romans said. Wherefore, as by one man sin enter into the world, sin, disobedience, willingly disobedient to God, and death by sin, and therefore the consequences of disobedience to God is always death by sin. Now look at what the scripture said. And so death pass it upon all men, for all have sinned. In other words, every human being who is born in this universe will die. Not because he gets sick. My doctor told me the other day when I was poor Dr. Kraut, he looked at me and he said, I said to him, Jubilee Deo, you know, and he speaks Latin. So I started speaking Latin with him, and he looked at me and he said, you're getting older. And therefore, sickness happened to you. Have you realized that, Dr. Otero? I said, you know, that's not the case. Sin get in the way. That's what happened. And he said, I'm here to chat with you about your sickness, not about theology. Ask other patients. Don't worry about it. But let me tell you about it. Sin gets in the way. Whether you are older or young, you drink drugs, 18, 19, you start watching pornography and getting off on the tangent, and you end up shot by somebody. Sin. So we are all born in sin. The Messiah had to be pure, without sin. And so God engineered, the genius of God engineered this. He's born from a mama, which cannot transmit the sin, but a father. The Bible makes the man guilty of sin. See, the Bible said that no Eve sinned, even though she sinned. The Bible blamed the man for consenting to the sin. The Bible will never blame your wife, will blame you, man, if your marriage is no work. Watch out for that. Watch out for that. So here it is. Now, how in the world then Jesus was born? Well, let's go to Matthew's chapter 1, to the birth certificate, and see what the birth certificate says. I tell people, I look to documents in order to see the truth, and here is the birth certificate written by God about his son Jesus. And we read in Matthew 1, and in verse 20, and in verse 21. But while he thought on these things, Joseph saw that his girlfriend was pregnant, and so he said, well, I love this girl, the girl, so much. How in the world this holy woman, because she was a holy woman, how in the world this holy woman, this happened to her? I don't want to make a public offense to her, bring him to the court side and let judge her. I want to leave it. And then an angel had to come. Behold, the angel of the Lord appear unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is not from the sperm of man, is from the sperm of God, is of the Holy Spirit. Now, takes all the strength and the grace of God for a man to believe that. The next verse said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call him Joshua, because that's the real name, Joshua, Savior, in Latin is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And so the Word became flesh, and the Word became flesh so that sin cannot touch him. If Mary would have a boy from Joseph, which she did later on, and the Bible in the Gospel of Mark listed 3 or 4 of them, if she will have boys, the boys will be sinners. And God intervened and bring this into her life. So she had a baby in the likeness of mankind, but the ingredients of that baby were entirely different. Now, let's go to Colossians 3:11. I ask myself, why this? What implications these? What consequences these have of me? What is the real thing for me in looking into this heavy, mysterious doctrine? What it is? Now, when we read in Colossians 3 and in chapter 3, And verse 11, we read these words concerning the church. Here it is. There is neither Greek nor Jew. Circumcision, that means radical Jews, or uncircumcision. Barbarian, that's you and me, Gentiles. Or Scythian, that's the top of the Greek. bond people, slave people, or free people, but Christ in all and in all. Here's the mystery. Christianity is not a denomination. Christianity is Christ in Christ and all. Christianity is not about Baptists and Roman Catholics and Protestants and this and the other. Christianity is about Christ and Christ and all. Christianity is not about Italian, Portuguese and these. Italian is Christianity is not about the Asian people and the white people and the black people. Christianity is about Christ Jesus. And because Christ doesn't have the sperm of a race, but have the sperm of God, he can reach us all in equal manner. Wow! How majestic. Only Christianity have that. Mohammed reached his people with tenderness and with a sword. Buddha reached his people and changed his mind. But Christ changed us all in the image of God. The mystery of divine operation. Now I'm going to go a little heavy. The mystery of divine revelation. If you notice, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, at the end of verse 14, when John, you know, each time I study John, I'm amazed. The people said, if you want to read something easy, read John. Easy? Easy? They said, you read the Gospel of John, it's the best. It is the best. Every word of the Bible is the best. But if you read the Gospel of John, you better know very well the Old Testament. Look at verse 14. He said, he's full of grace. The word full is a very important word. There are two words, panta and plero. Plero is the word plenarius. That means totally full, totally full. There is no a possibility in the entire world there will be one jot of grace that can be found to add to the grace of Jesus. It's full. And also the original says, full of truth. You cannot find in any place in the universe any yacht that you can add to the truth of Jesus because it's complete. That's it. Now let's study that. The mystery of his revelation. What do you mean, God? Full of grace. Now if you're a Jewish person, and you're an Orthodox Jewish person, you will understand this better than all of us. If you're a Jewish person, you read every month the book of Leviticus, because that's the law. So let's go to Leviticus 20, page 79, and I'm going to give you one example why Jesus is full of grace. The book of Leviticus, chapter 20. And I'm going to read for you a very interesting verse, verse 10. About, you know, there are about 800 rules in the book of Leviticus. This is one of them. That's where I carry a gun in my office. I'll show you in a minute. Talking about adultery. And the man that committed adultery with another man, this is the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Bible. And we all believe the Bible, and we all want to obey the Bible. Very careful when you said, I want to obey the Bible. Very careful. Now look at this. And the man that committed adultery with another man's wife, even he that committed adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Suppose somebody come to my office and said, Pastor, I'm very sorry, I commit adultery with this man. So bring down the man for counseling. The man come in with her, I take my gun, go boom, boom, I fulfill the Bible. Is that right? That's what the Bible says. Now, why we don't do that today? They did it in the Old Testament. I want to show a passage that we're ready to do it. Why we don't do that? That's what the passage said. If somebody commit adultery, you kill the person that committed, but as the person who did it, you call them for counseling, take your 38, say goodbye, goodbye, and fulfill the law. Now, it's ridiculous, but that's what it is. They did it through the Old New Testament until Jesus Christ. Let's go to John chapter 8. Look at what happened in John chapter 8. A lady was ready to put to death. John chapter 8. In verse 3, the Bible says, that the Pharisees and scribes, the whole religious body, all the elite, brought unto him, him as Jesus, a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, and the very act of adultery, they didn't know, somebody told me, we saw it. Now verse 5. Now it's a quotation of the book of Leviticus, chapter 20, verse 10, right here. Moses and the law commanded us that such should be shot. Should we kill it here right now? What do you say? Now, you know this story. Jesus wrote in the ground, and he asked them, if is anybody ever sinned, please shot her. And everybody laughed. Now here is Jesus, the perfect God, the perfection of God, in front of a guilty human being who need to be shot. And what did Jesus say? Verse 10. And Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the women, and he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Had no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. Now is Jesus there. And Jesus said, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is grace. You deserve to die, but because somebody paid for that debt, he said, I put my life for you. Now I want to show it to you. John chapter 1, verse 17. This is well explained. I imagine when the Jewish people read the Gospel of John, they were shocked. And some adulterers were very happy. Look at chapter 1, verse 17. For the law was given by Moses. The book of Leviticus was given by Moses. But grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ. Now, this is explained very well in Galatians chapter 3, page 686. Galatians chapter 3, page 686. You look on it, and in chapter 3, Jesus explained what that means. Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, curse is everyone that committed, continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In other words, if you miss one jot in the book of the law, you are cursed. Look at verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Paul said, there is no one human being that is perfect before God. See? Even the Americans are not perfect before God. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Verse 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live by in them. Now look at verse 13. Explain it, everything. Christ hath redeemed us, means pay off us, from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hanging on the tree. In other words, Christ can say to these women, I get shot and you get life. That's what Christ did. We need to be in hell. The wages of sin is eternal death in hell. But we are not in hell, those who believe, because he, Christ, paid hell for us. You got it? That's what we preach, Christ. That's a matter of what you call yourself. A Protestant, a Catholic, or whatever you want to call yourself. A liberal or a conservative, whatever you want to call yourself. Doesn't make a difference. The difference is who you believe. It's not that great. Full grace of God. No man can do that. No priest in this earth can say, I forgive your sin, because he's a sinner. I cannot say to you, I forgive your sin with respect to God. You go to God and he will forgive you. God is still forgiving people like he forgave the woman who was ready to be executed. Come to my office and talk to me. My gun is without bullets because I cannot use it anymore. Jesus used all the bullets on himself. You see it? Now he said, full of grace, but also he says, full of truth. Now, to define truth, you need to go to John 17 and verse 17. There the Bible defines truth. John 17, verse 17. Again, the prayer of the Lord Jesus. And he's praying, and he's saying, sanctify them through thy truth. What did he say? Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Now, there is no logos over there. Over there is the word rhema. Thy written word is truth. Now, move your Bible to the end. Revelation chapter 19. You remember that in Philippians, the Bible said, a name was given unto him, not known unto man. But then in Revelation 19, and in verse 13, the Bible says, Revelation 19, verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture deep in blood, and his name is called, what class? The Word of God. The Word of God. It's the truth. How effective is that truth? Well, I encourage you to move your Bible now to Psalm 119, page 381. Psalm 119, page 381. And I want to show you just briefly, because my time does not allow me to share all the reference, but I share you some of them, how beautiful they are. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewith shall a young man clean his way? Is that 119:9? By taking heed, or by living according to thy word, said the original. By living according to thy word. How you're a young fellow and you want to have a clean life? You don't have to follow the Jewish laws that they created after the Old Testament. You have to follow the Word of God and cleanse your way. That will be against your nature. If you want to live with somebody without the bounds of matrimony, the Word of God says, hold it, don't do that. That's against your nature. If you want to have sex before marriage, the Bible says, hold it, don't do that. You want to drink wine in excess? The Bible says, hold it, don't do that. And you want to smoke 20 cigars a day? The Bible says, hold it, don't do that. Don't harm your body. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. You see that? According to thy word, that cleans you all over. It's better than any antibiotic you can buy in the pharmacy. Better than Malaquin, Tekin, and whatever they give me. Better the word of God. Look at verse 11. Same chapter. Thy word, I kept it in my mind. No. He's not talking about intellectuality. He's talking about reality. Thy word I kept in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. You know, you may know Greek and Hebrew, backwards and forwards. You will sin openly. But if you keep the word of God in your heart, the word of God will be cling. You say, what? Oh, wrong. But I like it. Wrong. Let's go to 104. 104. Through thy precepts, or statutes, through thy precepts, what do I get? Understanding. You want to understand the government of the United States of America, this evil democratic government of the United States of America. They want to vote God out of any place. That's evil. As a Muslim, are the Democrats. I mean, the democracy is not in the Bible. The Bible raised a king who is godly and you obey the king. And the people don't want to obey even the law of the United States of America. I went to the post office, as I told you last Sunday, and I went again. And I said, it's Christmas season.
And they said, you cannot mention Christmas inside this building. I said, well, call me the postmaster, and I want to greet him for Christmas. And the guy did not come out. I'm going to go to the mayor this week and greet him for Christmas. They want to say that there is no Christmas. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. What is it then? It's a season. Season of what, sir? Oh. I'm proud of the mayor, the Spanish mayor of San Jose. He said, San Jose had a Christmas park, and it's going to be a Christmas park. I don't care how many people sue me, I'm going to have it. The mayor is a little kooky, but that one is good. I'm proud of my Spanish fellow. See, the Word of God gives you understanding. The Word of God gives you understanding. If you read the papers, you get confused. But the Word of God gives you understanding. You have some problem, read the Word, read the book of Proverbs. Will you? Read the book of Proverbs. I was with my barber, Reuben, this week. And I talked to him. And I said, read the book of Proverbs. Oh, no, no. Read the book of Proverbs. You're going to get scared to death of doing adultery. You will get scared to death of cheating people. Read the book of Proverbs. The Bible gives you understanding. Oh, you know, as a pastor, we are Mexican and we live in this way. No, who cares who you are? You are a Christian or not? You are a Christian. You live by the Word of God. Look at 105. Look at 105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word of God is a light for today and a light for tomorrow. You want to see the light at the end of the tunnel or any problem you have, look in the Word of God, and God will give you a light for today and a light right there at the end, and you will be at peace. My conclusion is found in Ephesians chapter 3, page 689. I read the passage for you. Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 19. Look at how beautiful it is. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father, Ephesians 3, verse 14, of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he will grant you, according to his riches and glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depths and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You want to be filled with all the fullness of God? Take Jesus. Take Jesus. Take Jesus. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this mystery that we believe by faith. And thank you for the value of the mystery which revealed to us, that we are not under the leadership of a man, but under the leadership of God. Oh, Father, speak to us. Move us that we Christians may stand with kindness and meekness, but firm with Jesus. In his love we pray. Amen.